Good morning, everybody. Christopher is away in fall. Can't you hear me? Better?
Yes.
Okay. Christopher is away in Paul preaching there, so you're stuck with me this morning. And I've got a long sermon. A very long sermon. A few weeks ago, a woman visited us on the farm, and don't ask me, it's more than a day ago, how we came to the subject, but I said to her, the biggest problem Christians today have is to live according to God's will in the world that we know today. We all know that we are bombarded with all nonsense around us every and each day, and some people have even turned off their TVs. They don't watch TVs anymore. And the biggest problem that we have, if we use it wrongly, is our cell phones. And our young people, I think they are especially vulnerable. Just to start, they start in their Christian life, and now they have to cope with all the nonsense that's going on around their heads. I looked in the Bible and I found that I'm going to read a few verses this morning. That's not going to appear out there, but it's short verses, so it's okay. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul implores believers not to conform to the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of their minds. This resonates with the dilemma we face as modern-day Christians. Every single day, believers are faced with choices and decisions that either conform to the world or follows God's will. And that is a difficult one. When are the decisions that we make according to God's will? How do we get there? That we know absolutely what's wrong and what is right. Because today the whole world is grey. You go this way, it's grey. You go that way, it's grey. To find God in between all that greyness is getting more difficult every day. In Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 23, Paul again warned people of Ephesus to put off their old self. In his words, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of their minds. Again, their minds. To be made new, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul is how many years ago and still we're fighting the same fight? I think today's even worse. If I read all the crap that I see pass before me, sometimes it's terrible. The question now is, what characteristics do Christians have to possess to enable us to successfully withstand the onslaught of the unbelieving world against the way God wants us to live? To prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? How do we prepare our children? I'm going to read you. Okay, the first one. I want to share with you, first scripture is when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples to spread the message of reconciliation. He told them in Matthew 10, verse 16, the characters that they would need. And Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I must confess I had to go look up, find out exactly what was meant there. Now, they say, Mrs. Google, no, it wasn't Mrs. Google, it was someone else. As people, sheep, as people who are vulnerable and dependent on a shepherd for guidance and protection in a hostile world, relying only on their faith in Jesus. Sheep is dependent on a shepherd, and so are we. But we have to accept that mistake or fault that we have and look to Jesus for everything. Snakes, that was a nice one. Every time you look it up, there's another explanation for snakes in here, that we must be like snakes. Anyway, the nearest one that I could find was shrewd as snakes. Shrewd in this case would probably mean to not be overbearing, because Christians reason spiritually and seldom rely on hard facts to prove a point. A good friend of mine, Okoki, I don't know whether you all remember him, some of you. Can't you hear now? Okay, I'll try my best. Sorry, are you okay now? Okay, I'll shout a bit louder. Cocky, when I first met him, was a bit overbearing. He was in your face all day long. And the moment the shrewdness came in for me, that he started to feed you just bits of God and of God's message, just bits, just to make you interested in what he's going to say next, and then he says nothing and he walks away. A week later you meet him again and he starts putting out those bits again. That's shrewdness. He realized, and he told me so, he realized later on that people run away from him when he throw the whole book at them. And then he started to just, it's like you want to catch a dove. You put out seeds until the dove is in the box, and you close the box, you've got him. I think this is the shrewdness that Jesus was meaning. Snakes, yep, doves. Doves are a symbol, they say in the Bible, of the Spirit of God. Namely serenity, reconciliation, and peace. Those white doves, they're not so, you don't find them anymore, not so much. It's only when somebody is really breeding with them. But that's the idea that you have. Something that is soft, doesn't hurt you, isn't going after you. And I think that tells us exactly how God is with us and how we should be with others as well. I forgot about the wolves. Where does the wolves come in? Because the one, if you look at the one explanation of the wolves, is that they look after their children well. They're always protecting their children, feeding their children. And then the one explanation that I think is fitting here, people who will do anything to promote their own interest in total disregard of the interest of anyone else. Those are the wolves that we encounter each and every day of our lives. They are clever, and usually Christians are too soft-hearted to really stand up, and we haven't got a choice, we have to. And if not for ourselves, but for the man next to us, we don't have a choice. But so Jesus was warning us against these people. And today it's still the same. Nothing has changed. But let's turn to to Ephesians 6, verse 14. I think we all know it very well. But I'm going to read it. You've got it. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. If we look at, and these are help, this is help that we have to follow, have to make us our own. Make it our own so that we can stand strongly and not on our own. The moment you start standing on your own, you fall. There's no way that you can keep upright against the world today. And I say it, when last have you been on the road between Paul and Wellington? At the wrong time of day. You're not even out of Paul and you showing fist and running on your hooter and stuff like that, and that's wrong according to the Bible. You're not behaving as a Christian. So let's work through this. Truth, it's God's word. Righteousness, to be right, especially in a moral way. Readiness, availability to God to take out his message. And that's a strong one. We must always be available to God. Are all believers disciples? What do you think? These are, remember the first that we had was Jesus that sent out his disciples. Who are we? Are we God's disciples or not? Why? All believers. Are all believers disciples? They say no. So only true believers that are disciples. There's a big difference. I didn't know, but there is a big difference. The true believer will be working for God, and the other one will be working for what he can get out of God. I can look it up and I'll tell you in a minute's time. Readiness. Be always ready. The Bible itself tells us, always be ready to tell others about the hope that you have. Always. Not sometimes, always. Faith is our trust in God. Without trusting in God that he will help us, what do we have to stand on? What do we have to keep us upright? Nothing. It's your own power that will keep you up for a few minutes and then you'll succumb to whatever is wrong. Salvation. That's something that you know and that will strengthen you. Spirit. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Prayer. Pray in the Spirit. Pray with other believers. Always pray. Always talk to God. If we don't do that, no hope. I'm sorry, because the moment you stop praying and talking to God, that moment you go on your own and you don't have the strength to stay upright. We need God and we need to talk to him. We need to ask him to come and help, because on our own, no ways. Oh, and then in Timothy 6 verse 11, Paul's charge to Timothy, counseling him to prepare him for his task among unbelievers. And he begin, let's read it. "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." There comes the gentleness in. Gentleness that we need when we give out or give out God's message. To jump on non-believers and try to stuck it down their throat won't work. It's again gentleness. If we put these two together, how much of God do we find here? Truth, it's God's word, it's the Bible. Righteousness, Paul used it both times, to Timothy and also with the armor of God, that we should be right, especially in a moral way, always. Can we do that? Again, not without God, definitely not. Readiness. It's not in the second one. Faith is also to Timothy. To Timothy, love, gentleness, endurance is the first time it wasn't used in the armor of God. There we have faith, salvation, spirit, prayer. So we've got 11 out of the two. There's 11 characteristics that we need to stand upright. And it all comes down to know your Bible. Oh boy, somebody's missing. Know your Bible and keep people around you, fellow believers, that you can talk to, that you can reason to, that you can fight with about the Bible or about the meaning of what is written in the Bible. We do it all the time. It's not fisticuffs, but it's getting hot sometimes. And it's not wrong, but surround you with people like-minded. Paul doesn't say for nothing that our minds should be renewed. We should help each other to renew our way of thinking. That's the important thing, I think. If we all think alike about the important things, not about trivialities and things of our everyday life, that doesn't matter, but about God, what God wants from us, what He wants for us, we should know. These things we should know. And we should turn to each other to really make it part of our life. Some of us forget quickly, others remember longer, and they should help the old people that forget. But by the time we get old, that should be part of our whole demeanor, our, who we are, what we are. And we should be leading the younger people. We can't go on our own. We're messing with ourselves and with the future of those that come after us. I think just, I'm going to read it again. Those, and try to remember it or read it tonight. That truth, which is God's word. Righteousness. We should always try to make the decisions that we make where not only our own lives, but also the lives of others around us. Their lives is influenced by the decisions that we make. We must be righteous. We must be morally right. We are not the most important beings in the universe. Definitely not. Readiness. Always be available for God to use. God uses everybody. I've discovered it a few times now. Even people that's non-believers. But be ready. Be always available to God to use. It's not the minister's job only, or the elders, or whoever. Every one of us should be always available to God to use for His kingdom. Is it difficult? No. He'll see to it that the right words will be available when you have to talk to somebody or somebody comes to you with a problem. Just wait on Him to speak, and don't you speak first and afterwards ask Him, was I right or was I wrong? I don't think He'll even answer you then. But wait on Him. Don't be hasty to look for an answer. Have faith in God. Without faith in God, no ways. Our salvation, keep it in your mind that we are saved. But we can so quickly, so easily fall out and turn our backs on God. Spirit, prayer, and then love, gentleness, endurance. Always keep those factors with you. It's okay to fight, but like my wife said, told me the other day when I had a few bad moments, she said, a soft word goes much further than your ranting. She said, but you don't hear my soft words. She said, but it's nonsense. No, soft words, the right soft words at the right time accomplish much more than going off like a time bomb. I think that's my whole message today. I think when we pray, we must ask God for a discerning heart and mind to enable us to distinguish between, in the gray areas, between what's right and what is wrong. To help us make the right decision. Because decisions, to make the right decisions, aren't always that simple. A lot of times there's a catch. And you think you're doing the right thing, and then you make a big, big, big mistake. Especially when other people are involved. When it's your own mistake, it's your own mistake. But let's pray and always ask God to give us that discerning mind and heart. Because our hearts aren't always right. Sometimes you need a bit more mind than heart. Those of you who have children will know. And what is good for you and easy on you isn't always good for the child. And that is applicable to a lot of situations in our daily lives. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we stand before You and we've heard Your voice through Your word. The things that You've been telling us right from page one of Your word up to here and further as well. Lord, help us to remember Your promises, the things that You've told us not to do and the way we should do it. Help us, Lord, to read Your word, to make it our own, to put it in our minds so that we will always have it there to fall back on, so that when we are in a difficult situation, that we will know what to ask you and how to ask it. Lord, we know that you've promised us that you will always listen to us and that you will always be there. Teach us the patience to wait on you, to give us an answer. And if we have to delay the answer even for 2 days or 3 days, it doesn't matter. Help us to wait on you, to find the right answer so that we can do our little bit to correct the circumstances under which we are living today. And give us that readiness, Lord, to help those that have fallen away or haven't heard from you. You be with us always. Amen.
Surprisingly, our last song is Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, master of day. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
As a greeting, I'd like to read you Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a nice week.